Aw, shit. I ain't never seen nothing like that before. And I hope to fuck it ain't the last thing I'll ever see.
Ryan gaped openly. Whatever he had expected, men, wags, missiles, gas, there was no way he could have expected this. 200 feet in front of them, stretching for a mile in each direction, rose a circle of metal towers. Each was surmounted by a platform that pushed aside topsoil and sand as it rose, much of which now cascaded down the sides, falling to the ground in showers. Each platform was peppered with cones and boxes. Some of these looked like speakers, others like giant lamps. They were arranged in irregular groups and patterns. Their exact purpose was hard to determine.
Take them out!
What the hell are these things made of? Everything's just bouncing off.
Hold your fire!
Let me try.
Working together, Cedric and Gwen charged the laser equipment. It was obviously better used in a more stable environment, but they were well-versed in its operation.
Y'all might want to take a step back. Ready, Gwen?
Ready, Cedric.
All right.
It was like using a razor blade to cut down a giant redwood. There was the merest speck of damage on one tower. To cut down just that one would take more time and energy than they had.
Shit! Press on! Get past the towers! Maybe the weapons only face one way. Go, go, go!
It was an astute assessment. Made for defense, all the lights and speaker cones faced out. If the invading forces could scramble past, then they would be all right. But right now, they were too far in front.
Ah, shit! What the hell is that sound?
Many were stunned to inaction as their heads were filled with a sound that made their skulls reverberate. Cedric and Gwen, still trying to train their laser on one of the towers, became transfixed as the lights began to strobe and pulse in irregular patterns that seemed to sap their will, to turn their brains inside out. Both of them tumbled over, their bodies racked by fits, muscles spasming, tongues swallowed. They choked to death in front of Jack and Robert, who had both had instinct enough to avert their eyes, but were still transfixed by their peripheral vision, enough to make their muscles seize up. Frustration overwhelmed them as they tried in vain to move, to somehow come to the aid of their companions. Ryan couldn't see what was going down, but he could guess what was happening from the reactions of his own party. He tried to use the comm and could raise it partway to his mouth, but every movement was a struggle. He clenched his teeth. The sound and lights would gradually force them all into seizure. They'd choke to death or lie paralyzed in the heat of the day until they fried, or be easy meat for the Sekhmen who lay in wait at the redoubt. Whichever of these claimed them, they were done. But he'd forgotten about Corwin's people, cruising the air currents above them.
Men, switch frequencies! Those towers down there are bad news. It seems they're directional, so we're not affected. Their mistake.
With Cedric and Gwen dead, and the others struggling, Corwin took his parasail crews up and banked steeply, swooping toward the group of towers that lined up almost directly in front of the three war parties. Because of their spread, Corwin's crews would have to knock out six of the towers. There were too many to take out all of them, but he figured that the towers had a limit to their range of effectiveness, hence the need to position them as they were. So if they could knock out those six, then there was a good chance it would release the war parties.
Ready your bombs, and keep in mind, we're going to have to make another pass. Don't aim for the base. The middle's a better target. I just hope the debris won't wind up chilling our allies.
At the perfect moment of the descent, Corwin let loose with his bomb. He immediately turned up toward the sky and away from any unknown ground defenses. The bomb was on its way. There was no need to sit there in the sky and watch it fall. They were successful on the first pass. All four craft had scored direct hits. The towers jerked, then started their slow descent to the ground. Immediately, the people below the parasailers seemed to regain their bearings.
That's four towers down! Hurley, come join me for the second pass!
Corwin knew it was a dangerous mission, and as they flew in to take out the two remaining towers in the sequence, he believed that he had provided the flyers left circling with some kind of respite. He was wrong. As they hovered, they became aware of rapidly approaching missiles. Absorbed in their immediate task, none of the parasail pilots had expected to be under attack from the air. The missiles were on a course to land in the ground beyond the towers containing the paralyzed warriors, and when the parasail pilots became suddenly aware of them at their rear, it was too late.
No!
Two of Corwin's craft were gone in the blink of an eye. And there were more missiles coming, bearing down on the warriors on the ground. Ryan knew what was happening. The effects of the sonic and visual weapons were clearing, now that the only towers transmitting nearby had been shattered. The farther towers made him feel uncomfortable, but their effects were so weak now that he could move. And he needed to do so quickly. Looking around, he could see that Mildred and Brianna were struggling forward with him. The t-shirted warrior was also beginning to move, shaking his head as if to clear it, and stumbling. Looking farther afield, he could see that Jack and Robert were moving, but Cedric and Gwen were down. JB and Doc were also on the move, Rhonda lumbering after them. At the rear, weaving and disoriented but starting to move, was the black Technomad. Ryan looked up at the incoming missiles, so focused that he couldn't see the two remaining parasails. He only knew that he had to get out of there, and fast. Instinctively, Ryan knew the missiles were aimed beyond the towers. The enemy's tactic was to immobilize, then terminate.
Everybody move forward! Triple fast!
They had little time. The warriors scrambled forward, with no destination other than straight ahead. They had to keep moving, and hope that they would pass the fallen towers before the missiles hit home. Ryan was aware of the tower wreckage as he passed it. He could see Brianna and Mildred from the corner of his eye, keeping pace with him. Ryan looked up and saw his team around him. Ahead of him were Jack and Robert. They had covered the ground with greater speed and were further from the blast force, but they still had been knocked to the ground.
Come on, Doc. Get a move on.
I'm trying. Those lights were so...
Bitch about it another time. We gotta get down. Rhonda, you okay?
Satisfied that she was still alive, JB looked around to find the last member of his party. He adjusted his spectacles, and his vision cleared. The black man was to their rear. He was kneeling, but JB could tell that there was something wrong. The man opened his mouth to speak, but no sound came out. Blood dribbled down his chin, then poured out in a gushing wave. He pitched forward, and the armorer could see a large fragment of shrapnel sticking out of his back, down by the kidneys. It stuck up obscenely as the sand around his body darkened.
Oh, shit. Doc, take my hand.
JB and Doc walked painfully toward Rhonda.
Rhonda, how you feeling?
Oh, feel like I've been kicked by some mutie mule or something.
Can you stand?
Yeah.
Good. We're a man down. We've got to keep moving.
JB glanced across the empty expanse of sand. He could see Jack and Robert to one side, but only them. Three down overall, then, an estimate confirmed as he looked in the other direction to see Ryan and Mildred, along with Brianna and her man. A surge of relief swept through him that Mildred had survived the first wave. He concentrated on that as they moved forward.
No, no, no! This can't be happening!
Christy felt a surge of satisfaction. Three people were killed, and two of the parasails were gone, but her friends had made it through this far. But she felt that time was ticking away. Howard simply had too many defenses, and Sid was taking too long working out the failsafe. She would have to take action. Christy reached deep within herself. She was still weakened from her last use of the Gaia power, and had still not fully recovered from the ordeal of being kidnapped. She was nowhere near her optimum strength, and she wasn't sure if she would be able to channel the Gaia Force. She tested herself, but couldn't be sure, and she had to be certain if she was to use it, that it wouldn't burn her out before she could achieve her aim. For the only option she could see left open to her was to fight Howard, and if necessary, tear out his arm by the socket, if it meant being able to put his thumb onto the keypad, before he could bark out an order that Sid and Hamill would be forced to obey. She was poised to act when Howard turned to her.
I don't understand!
She was so taken aback by the tone of his voice that any thought of action fell by the wayside.
Understand what?
Why this is happening? Who these other people are and why they want to attack me? All I want to do is make it a better world. It was so simple in the old days. People understood what was happening, and they did things the right way. Why aren't they doing it like that now? Why is it different?
Howard, Thunder Rider, you have to understand that those things aren't real. They're stories. Things were never really like that, even back before the new cost.
Never?
No. They were just stories of how some people thought things should be.
No. No, that can't be true. Those things happened. I saw them. Why would people go to such trouble to fake such things? They speak and feel so true. They're real. They're the history of the world when it was good. I haven't lived my life for a lie. It's you who lies. You say you're Storm Girl, but you're just like them, sent to test me.
No, I...
Sid, ready and fire SMG defenses. Hamill, ground-to-air capability deployed. Lock on airborne targets.
Damn it!
Blast them out of the... Storm Girl! What are you...
I'm stopping you from doing any more damage.
Christy squeezed her arm as hard as she could around Howard's neck, closing his throat as she pulled him to her, to stop him issuing any more orders. He clawed at her arm, but couldn't loosen her grip. He stumbled back into her, knocking her into the far wall. Pushed against the wall, it took everything she had not to weaken her grip. She was aware as he pushed against her of how strong he was, and simultaneously of how weakened she still was, but she couldn't let up. She had to cling on, throttle him, and stop him issuing orders at all costs.